I wish that she had, because what she's teaching me now is my language.
Oh, yeah.
See, I've learned everybody else's language. I learned English, I learned Odawa, I learned a bit of Cree, a bit of this and a bit of that. Just to hold on to something to say it's mine. And she says, oh, I don't have nothing to leave you. And here she is. She sits all day and talks so different. And I said, what do you think you're doing? I said, you're probably maybe 1 out of 10 people that really know that language really well. Mm-hmm. That can give me that language to pass on to someone else. And in this reserve alone, they've only have 2 Delawares left that can teach Delaware.
Oh, yeah.
Only 2, and that's the true Delaware. That's not just bits and pieces.
Who's that?
I went to a meeting about a month ago. About a month ago, I said it. I can't remember who they are, but there's only 2, and they're elderly people that know that Delaware.
Is it?
Yeah. And that's all there's left on this reserve for. So you can see everything.
You mean across the river?
Across
across the river, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's only 2 that know that true language. Yeah. So that's why I mean, like, to preserve anything that you can, even by any means, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it. I'm teaching 2 elderly people how to bead.
Oh, is it?
And that's what gets to me, is because how come they don't know? They should be teaching me instead of me teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was telling Hazel. Okay. I said, you know what? What's really funny is the fact that they're teaching me, or I'm teaching them. And it should be the other way around. Anyway, okay. Are we ready? We are ready. Well, maybe you can give her the sheets.
Mama,
I'm just, this is just an information sheet. You can look at it on your own later, just so you know what it is we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a phone number of contact, too, and we didn't put Carolyn's on here for my next.
Anything that's said or you don't want said, you just tell us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we'll have a paper for you to sign later on, and that's just for release of whatever.
Just to say that what we take is okay to use.
Okay.
So, like, if you make mistakes, don't worry about it.
Okay.
It all gets,
if the tape
gets
runs
cut
out,
down to a little bit, so.
Like, everything's not going to be used on the tape anyways, just bits and pieces that you say that are the most important pieces.
Kay.
Maybe start first so we have your name on tape. Tell us your name.
Where she comes from
and where you come from.
Linda Elijah from here, Oneida.
How old are you, Linda? If you don't mind.
Do I have to
Well, the
you don't have to tell.
You don't have to, but the reason why, like, I'd like to see the balance of the generations in there. It's
okay.
To
today's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
we gotta put that one on.
Yes.
I'm 39 today.
Oh, wow, you're my grandmother. I'm 38. I just turned 38.
And I'll be 40 soon. So we're all together.
Okay. Okay, I shouldn't ask that because it's not really into different crafts. How are you gonna put the first one? What crafts do you do? You can't say crafts because it's in a way it's a craft, but in a way it's.
What kind of work do you do? Tell us about your work.
Okay. Yeah, could you tell us about the style of work that you're doing right now?
The style. I'm just starting. Yes. See, I've made what they call feast baskets or picnic baskets, something like this. This here is my mother's, but I go by that, you know. But mine are smaller,
mm-hmm.
like this. And I'm trying to get that design where most people are asking for, is the 2 handles.
Oh, yeah.
One.
So there's like different ways of making them,
mm-hmm.
and you have like your own patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you set your own patterns? Or
yeah, I make whatever comes into mind.
Okay, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it about 2 years.
Did you find that when you started learning how to do it, was it very hard for you to understand?
No, because I've watched my mother all these years. And for 2 years, I was making it, and my baskets are all lopsided and everything, you know. But then we go out, and when we sell it, they sell, my basket sell, just the same as my mother's does. Maybe.
I bought a lot of little ones too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I quit for a year. I haven't made baskets for a whole year because I didn't get tired of it. I just gave it up for a year, and I just now started again. Yeah, I just now started again. About 3 weeks ago, and I found it to be easier to work with once I started again. My baskets were better, and the reason why I quit for that year is because my older sister came down, and she was working with my mother for that whole year. So she was trying to learn stuff that she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And so I left them alone.
What do you think about your mother teaching you this craft? What do you feel about it? How do you feel?
Just that I want to do it, that's all.
Your mother said something to us when we were talking to her. She said that when we asked her about her baskets, and she said she didn't know if she'd be able to do them much longer. I said, why? And she said, well, she said, they're going to send me to the seniors' complex, is what she said. And she said, I can't make any noise. She said, I have to sit and be quiet there.
it was
interesting.
Yeah,
it kind of taught me. I'm wondering where that came from for her.
It kind of made me feel sad for her because I know that when you have a craft and you can't do it anymore, it's almost like it's taken from you.
Well, she's been saying that for the last 4 or 5 years, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't feel so bad. So I have to say,
well, as long as, you know, she thinks she's not going to be healthy or something like that, you know, but she's pretty healthy, she's pretty strong, and that's just what she thinks, you know.
That's funny.
And they do want her to move into that seniors building that they're building over there. And they got all kinds of rules and stuff, you know, that if she moved there, she wouldn't be able to do her basket work. That's probably what she was talking about.
Yes. That's what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She said at the end, by the time we were leaving, so maybe I won't move there.
She's made up her mind she's not going to go, but
I think it's maybe the idea that they might force her into going, because you hear of a lot of people, their children put them there, and then automatically they don't have no
alternative
to stay there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what's running through her mind. My mom's always saying to me, put me there, I don't want to be a burden, and here she's at my
house. This is
you know?
Different, though. This is like a seniors' apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the elderly that
they
don't have a home.
They should be able to do that, though, because you can come and go.
They got all kinds of rules where she can't have so many visitors. And, like, I don't know if we'd be able to go there, you know, me and my kids, because we go see her quite a bit, you know? That's one of the things she was worried about, is not us not being able to
see. I'm going
to
jump ahead a little bit and ask you, if your kids asked you to teach them, would you take time to teach them?
Oh, yeah, I have a 11-year-old daughter now. She wants to learn.
Good.
She's in grade 5, and they were writing a paper, stories on culture and different things. So she won a couple of certificates or awards on her one story now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was on my mother. Yeah.
That's great. See what happens when the younger people are being taught, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what worries me, is the fact that if it's not being taught, it's going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what scares me the most.
See, she's kind of young yet to handle that knife, you know? So I wouldn't give her the knife. So she says, you said you're going to learn me or teach me or something. You know, when are you going to start? So we went over to my mother's, and she thought she was going to, you know, start right in with making and with her the knife and everything. But I told her she was, you know, she might cut herself. That's because it's a real sharp knife that you use. And So she got kind of upset, and my mother told her, if you want to learn, she says, you just sit there and watch. And she didn't like that. She didn't like it too much when I told her, but when my mother told her, well, you know, she felt kind of better that this is the way she learns.
No.
She sits there and watches. So we go over there, and she just sits and watches. Then she wrote this story, and I never read it, but I guess it's supposed to be pretty good. It's gone to... She won a couple awards on it, and it's supposed to be go to All Ontario now or something. Okay. Well, I think,
I was good for storytelling.
Is it?
Yeah. You know what would be really neat would be perhaps we could even get a copy eventually of that story. Maybe
that would be good.
Maybe your daughter would read the story on to tape for us.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because I think that what's nice is to know that it's going between the three generations. Yes. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
I haven't read it. She only told me what was in it, and she said she wrote about my mother and me. So
I think that showing your child is showing that she's learning, she's understanding, and like with your craft work, do you find what do you put into your craft work?
What do you mean?
Like with my bead work, I put in. The colors have meaning.
Oh.
Style has meaning. Like with your work, what would you put in your work that would have some meaning? Is there meanings to your twists and turns in there?
No. It's just, myself, I like natural colors, like brown, different shades of brown. Mm-hmm. But then there are people, they like all them blues, and they're mostly blues. And colors don't mean nothing really.
Is there any other type of work that you do besides basket making? Do you do beadwork, lettering?
I used to do beadwork. I get the occasional order for it, and I'll do it when somebody asks. Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And,
look it. Hey. Pepper.
We already know what your family thinks about it since your daughter's writing the stories about you, which is good. What about the community? What about the people around here? What do they feel about your basket?
I think almost, well, not mine, but I have a couple of friends that buy mine, you know, just to have it since I started making. They just want to be the first to have it, like, you know. And my ma is a lot, almost, there's quite a few people that buy her baskets, you know, just to have it.
We bought some when we were
Tape off.
We seem to be getting that paycheck for a long time to go back, though.
Take that tape off.
Are you ever asked to do shows, or do you ever go to schools and show the book that you're
No, doing? They haven't asked me. They've asked my mother a lot of times, but she won't go either. She's kind of shy or something. She doesn't go for those kind of things. And she's telling me to go, you know, but nobody's asked me.
The first name that came up was your name. go to my daughter. She'll tell you everything. I got her talking a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard, though, because she kept looking at that machine, and it was off, it was closed and everything. She just kept looking at it, like... the materials that you use in your work, how would you find them? Like maybe you can start like step one, like when do you have to go out and cut it?
In the bush?
Yeah.
Well, I've been, I'm just learning on that part. To go into the bush and to actually spot one is hard yet for me.
Is that right?
Yeah. You look for sort of a yellowish, brownish tree that's, well, you can tell by the bark. I can't explain
it
too well.
Yeah. The dark and mm-hmm. It's black.
No, it's not black. That's the white ash you might be thinking of that looks black. Like this is brown. Well, almost all trees look the same, you know, but they just
the odd bark mm-hmm. that tells you the difference. In mm-hmm. And when do you go in to cut that? Do you have to go in at, like the summertime, spring, winter, fall? When is
just
the best time?
Just right now. And in the winter time, because then all the water's frozen. or when the water's dried up. You know, you probably wouldn't need boots later on.
So when you bring this log back to your house, what do you do with it? What are the steps that you have to do to get it to look like strips after?
My mother didn't tell you any of these?
She wouldn't. Oh, we could hardly get her to talk at all.
No?
She was very shy.
Well, that short, the skinny end of it is where you start pounding. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you just get a knife and pound it in where you want to start. Two spots about an inch apart where you would cut it.
So they and look then, like slabs.
Yeah, just two little nicks in your log at the end there. And then you start pounding. You have to pound on this, like, even like this, you know. And then go back three times, pound it over three times. And then you just pull it off and it'll peel right off. When I first started, I could only go three layers deep, but my mom was seven or nine layers deep. I don't know, it's so easy for her, even though she's older now, like it's really easy for her to pound that and then for it to come up. It may sound like hard work, but for her it's really easy. And then now when I try it, since I started again after that year of being off, well, it's easier for me to pound now too. I can pound and I go five deep. It all depends, I guess, on what kind of log you get. If you've got a good one or not, they'll come up real easy.
So after you do the pounding, what do? You don't dry it or anything?
No, you have to clean it right away. It can't dry out, or if it dries out, then it would be harder to clean. You start cleaning them in. They'd be thicker layers than this, and the first thing you do is peel it. Peel them apart, but they'll be really, they may be like this, you know, long as the log is, can be 6 feet long. Then you would start peeling it apart. That first one you got, you can tell that how they're in layers, like six layers, however deep you go. That one layer you can pull it apart really, really easy. You know, it's easy to pull apart. And then you start cleaning it. This is where you start scraping. This here would be the top one on the thing next to the bark, because it's got these brown spots on it. You would clean that off, and maybe you could peel it again, you know, depends on what kind of strips you got. Gunny!
Maybe we should turn it off just for a few minutes. You were talking about the brown pieces. Now, how would you get them off? Would it be like scraping with a knife?
Mm-hmm. Just scraping it. And then depending how many times you can peel it, it could be like this one here would be the bottom, because it's heavy. And it bends quite easy like this, see? Because these are just all freshly pounded. They're all wet yet.
If let's say, after you peel it, and you find that there's like maybe a little piece of, it separates, what would you do? You wouldn't be able to use it?
No.
You would have to maybe use that as a smaller piece to go around it.
And then the more you peel it, the skinnier it goes. See, this can be your decoration, because it's thin, almost like paper, and it'll bend and it'll just twist right around and everything.
What amazed me in looking at the baskets was the width of the strips being so uniform. Like, you know.
Oh, that's when you that's when you come really good at it.
Is that
like
really hard?
You mean these ones
here?
Yes. Yeah. See, my mother uses her jackknife, and I don't know how she. That's hard for me to do. Is to, you know, she goes like, did she show you?
She didn't. No.
She'll just get her.
She was shy. She said, "I'm shy." And Talk to my daughter.
She stood against the wall and wouldn't even sit down. I was done with her. I thought, we scared this poor woman to death. It was just terrible.
She started coming out after we said, of course, Betsy, she goes, oh, I like this basket. And she's looking like this. Well, do you want to see some of my baskets?
That was it. That was
mm-hmm.
it. And then we didn't.
And then we had to leave, though, because it was running late. So.
Oh, yeah. See, so she just gets the knife and she just goes like this. The knife holding it there, and it just cuts all the way down to those widths. She seems to get it at the same width, but mine aren't the same. Mine can be skinny and some can be fatter, because I'm I'm not that good yet, you know.
And you couldn't, like, you couldn't just tear the end of it and then, like take a little knife and tear it and then?
No.
You have to, because you probably, what, get a jagged edge or?
You would, yeah, you'd get a jagged edge, and then one, it might start tearing this way across. That's why you need that knife to keep it straight.
Okay, we were talking about your strips. What about the color? Like how what kind of color do you use? Do you buy store-bought color?
Oh, my mother gets hers from Whirlpool, mm-hmm. and it's like a powder dye.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one guy she used to get it off of, but he died a couple years ago, so we have to find someplace else to get it.
Mm-hmm. I think Cape Cod. There's a woman that dyes her quilts.
Oh, is it?
And I think that she gets hers right from the bush. I'm pretty sure. I'll talk to her and I'll see, and then maybe I'll give you a call and let you know.
Did my mother ask you anything then about the black ash? Like,
yeah.
If we would be able to go up there and get some?
Yeah. What I could do is maybe I could phone one of the people that I know on the reserve and see how you go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because she's making arrangements to go to Curve Lake, and that's about, 100 miles or something. It's the other side of Toronto anyways.
Yeah.
There's this lady, she has a gift shop, and she says she's got a bush where there's black ash, and we were supposed to go out there. You know, but that's kind of far. Is Cape Croker any further? I don't know.
No, it's a 3-hour drive.
Oh, yeah.
What, two and a half? Yeah, two and a half to 3-hour drive. You know where Zondine is, eh?
No. I haven't been on.
Okay, you know where Owen Sound or Wyerton is?
Yeah.
Okay, Wyerton is, you know where Wyerton is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Wyerton, it's maybe about an hour and a half drive from Wyerton.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd say about 2.5 to 3 hour drive from there, which isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hard for you now to
mm-hmm.
find the black ash
yeah.
around
mm-hmm.
here.
And what about she does sweet grass around the grass. Do you do that too?
No, I haven't done that. I tried to work with it, but it's hard to.
You know the easy way to work with it?
Oh.
Soak it in lukewarm water as you're doing it.
Oh, is it?
But don't soak it all the time. You have to use it as soon as it starts to get a little bit of damp.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take it out of the water right away and pat it down with your paper. Anything
oh, yeah.
that will absorb the water.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're going, just turn it as you're going and you stitch it. Well, you'd stitch it with, I guess, this.
Mm-hmm.
But with us, we stitch it with thread as we go along.
Oh,
we
is
add
it?
More, and then you take a little bit off if it's too much and
mm-hmm.
add more. But as you're going along, you have to soak your.
Oh, my mother, I don't know how she does it, but she manages to get it in her baskets around that lid. A top she likes it, and then around the bottom.
That's what we got.
We both bought
the same
one. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We like them so much.
So, there was a couple of steps that she was going through that her child started crying. Maybe we can go back and find out what steps they were.
Okay, around getting the. All right, we're just about at the end of the tape. Let me ask you before we get to the end, and we'll back up a little bit.